I am Planta on the line in Vancouver at thecommentary.ca. The musical Next to Normal is playing in Vancouver the 7th to the 17th of February at Studio 16. Chris Lamb is the director, and he joins me now. I'll get him to tell us about this show that deals with bipolar disorder. The Brian Yorkey and Tom Kitt musical received the 2010 Pulitzer Prize. The production features recent graduates from area schools, and there are two casts performing alternately, which provides an opportunity for highlighting diversity in the community, a subject that Mr. Lamb has been on the show to talk about in the past, something he practices in the productions he casts and directs. Chris Lamb is an actor, director, and playwright. He is a graduate of Douglas College and Capilano University. Studio 16 is at 1565 West 7th Avenue in Vancouver's La Maison de la Francophonie. Get tickets at nexttonormalvan.brownpapertickets.com. Please welcome back to the Planta Online program, Chris Lamb. Mr. Lamb, good morning.
Good morning.
Thanks for joining us.
Yeah, no worries. Thank you.
So I remember when I saw Next to Normal at the, I guess it was the Arts Club that put it on back in 6-7 years ago, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I was just blown away by it because, you know, the musicals that I'm used to are, you know, Rodgers and Hammerstein and things like that, and Sondheim, of course. But Next to Normal just was something totally different. So for people listening, would you describe just sort of what people will see, what people might expect when they go see this production?
For those who are familiar with Next to Normal, you know, it's sort of a story about this family. Like, it takes over the course of a couple of weeks, and it's it chronicles a mother who is diagnosed with bipolar disorder, and then we see how it affects her family. And towards the very end, you know, we don't get, you know, really resolved issues. I think there's a lot of ambiguity towards the end, and the characters are kind of, you know, left with some big choices that they had to make, but I don't want to spoil too much. But essentially, yeah, it's about the family and how they're coping with their mother.
Yeah, and the music. I mean, how would you describe that? Is that rock music?
Yeah, I mean, essentially, all of Tom Kitt's music is pretty much straight up rock pop. I think there's a couple of different kind of styles. I mean, sometimes there's a bit of a country flavor to it sometimes, and there's a funk and then just like really just thrashing heavy metal at times.
Yeah.
What's really interesting about the music is that it really complements a lot of the states in the show.
Mm.
You know, primarily because it takes place in Diana's head. There's a lot of flexibility with sort of the theatricality of of all these different states. So the music really actually complements a lot of the more hallucinatory or more heightened moments in the show.
The more manic moments, frenzied moments.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. The subjects. I mean, these are obviously heavy subjects, but they're important subjects that need to be talked about. Mental illness, bipolar disorder, the treatment thereof. These aren't things that are necessarily dealt with on stage very much, are they?
I personally haven't seen a lot of stage shows that deal with mental illness. I mean, to some degree, there probably has been a couple of plays that I've seen that has that as its content. But for this show in particular, I found it really interesting that, you know, this was going to be the primary focus of a musical.
Yeah.
And whether or not the author's intent was to bring awareness to it or show a small facet of it in everyday life,
mm-hmm.
or were they going to just deal with primarily the conversation between therapy and treatment versus no therapy or treatment or even medication. From what I read, the authors initially wrote the musical with a focus on the ECT, so a lot of the supposed quote-unquote shock treatment, you know. And then the producers later on felt that they really need to hone in on basically the family, or at least the humanity in the story. So they kind of shifted their focus a little bit to the lives of the family members, and that's kind of when the musical really started to take shape for them in their development. And that's what most people have gravitated to, is basically this sort of story about this family, you know.
Well, what sort of discussions are you having with the cast about the material, especially this depiction of illness and the treatment of bipolar disorder?
With a play like this, I try and do as much research as I can. I certainly encourage the cast to do as much research as they can. You know, because of our rehearsal process, we don't have a lot of time to sort of go and discuss the nuances and the obvious huge spectrum of the content. Although, you know, we did bring in a consultant to help us just sort of like open up further discussions. And yeah, we do talk, we definitely do talk about you know, the therapies, and also about what constitutes like bipolar disorder or manic depression, and you know, that just sort of helps just to fill out, you know, the world for the actors, so that they can sort of build that into their performance. You know, with our work, with my work, I really focus more on the dramatic elements of the show, you know. But you know, whenever we have a chance, we kind of look at, you know, how do you depict or portray mental illness on stage? Are we trying to be as accurate as possible, or can there be a bit of flexibility? You know, I think there was some concern that maybe audiences might not buy into how, you know, our some of the choices we were making, or something like that. You know, and with our consultant, Dr. Randy Patterson, we just, you know, he helped out with the original Arts Club production, and we sort of just asked him, like, is there just certain cues, or are there certain types of sort of things that we could do in the performance that can just sort of help ground in a kind of reality?
Right.
And yeah, obviously there's just a lot of theatrical license with this, with the musical. So, you know, whether or not, you know, we're trying to go for accuracy, we're just, we try as best as we can to sort of ground it in some reality. And then of course we still have to obey the sort of the wild nature of the show, which has these sort of huge swings of heightened moments, and then it just brings it down to a very serious level of, you know, a very real and honest kind of groundedness for the characters.
So I was looking at the poster, and I noticed a lot of names. But my understanding is that there are two different casts, is that right?
Yeah, there's two separate casts for this show. This is sort of the third time I've done double casting. The two previous times I've had two sets of casts who would switch out characters or swap characters and sort of do it in kind of a rep format. But because the ensemble for this show is a bit smaller, Next Normal consists of really six actors on stage. I thought, okay, well, I could probably afford to just have two separate casts. And, you know, with with scheduling and things like that, you know, and certain actors I can't commit to the project. We have basically two separate casts, with the exception of one actor who's going to play for both casts.
I see. Well, why was that important for you to do that? Because I also understand from what I've read that a lot of the actors, it's all of the actors, are recent graduates. Is that right?
Yeah, there's definitely a huge makeup of recent grads or performers who have graduated, like maybe just sort of been a few years out, you know, mm-hmm. but relatively emerging,
yeah.
young and very talented. You know, Next to Normal has opportunities for younger performers, and that was definitely what I was trying to go for, is to find some up-and-coming young performers to play the parts of Natalie, Henry, and Gabe, you know, and with the double casting, I'm always trying to find a way to diversify the cast, you know, as best as I can. I try my best to, you know, really put some representation on the stage, you know, and in a show like this where race is not the focus,
mm-hmm.
Really there's a chance to sort of show a very diverse family on stage,
mm.
that, you know, a very universal family on stage that most audiences in Vancouver could find that they can relate to, or, you know, because the subject matter of mental illness really is very universal, the play has that flexibility to just really show a family, you know, so the audience can definitely relate, you know, on some level.
Yeah. And we've talked in the past, so I know for you, showcasing that the diversity in this community is a priority for you, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. It's a practice that I just want to continue. And yeah, it's very tricky in the city to showcase diversity, and also with like a small company like West Moon Theatre. You know, we have limited resources, and we have a very, we don't have a lot of government funding at the moment, you know, so really, you know, based on who I put out the call for, you know, I'm always trying to sort of encourage, you know, actors of color to just come out and play roles that they usually wouldn't see themselves in.
Mm.
And I know it's changing. The ecology in the theater scene is changing. It's just really it's just really kind of making this a practice of just of doing that, so that it's just it encourages younger actors, you know, to feel that, you know, they can come out and tell these stories, you know.
Yeah.
And it's just trying to just tell universal stories and just sort of, yeah, making them feel that they you know, it's very universal.
And so we've talked about the previously the discussion that's been happening in this town regarding diversity. I just looked at my notes here, and I haven't talked to you in about a year or so. How do you think this community in particular is doing in terms of not only coming out of that discussion, But the sort of casting that's been going on in productions in this town? I mean, have you seen an improvement at all?
I do watch a lot of theater in Vancouver, and you know, I can definitely say there has been a lot of effort, and there has been a lot of improvement, and there has been great strides and steps made to sort of you know, really diversify the casting shows in Vancouver, especially when we're talking about doing professional shows. You know, I'm definitely seeing a lot of yeah, I'm definitely seeing a lot of people really taking the time to really just cast people that they usually wouldn't, and you know, it's really nice. It's really good to see that, because you know, I think for me as an actor as well, it's just very encouraging to know that, you know, audiences can feel that they can start to go and see theater and not feel that it's a, you know, it's just like a very niche or very specific thing to do. Like, I think there's, you know, it's that kind of making theater very social, so that it's not for just one particular demographic. Like, yeah. And everyone can come see the theater now because there are strides in different representation and diversity, and not just race, whether it's based off gender or actors who have disabilities and things like that. You know, it's starting to open up, and the stories themselves are very diverse, which is really great.
Yeah, and then I it took me a while to get to this point where I thought that diversity was, say, necessary. But I mean, if you look at it from just a survival point of view, if you diversify the audience, especially when it comes to different demographics, not just race, but say age even, that ensures the survival of theater in general.
Yeah.
When you open it to new audiences, you get more people in seats.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And having younger actors who are going into theater institutions, you know, who wouldn't? I mean,
yeah.
It's really like the audience makeup is starting to change as well, and I mean, it can definitely get better. Absolutely, you know, because you know, we can tailor theater to everyone.
Yeah.
You know, it's just sort of finding the hook for making theater a little bit more socially relevant,
yeah,
or culturally relevant in Vancouver, you know.
Yeah, with all of the options that we have for entertainment, unfortunately, theater is not something that comes foremost in the mind of most people, and I think it should be, because, I mean, you know it from the people you work with, but, I mean, all the theater that you also see, there's a hell of a lot of talent in this town.
Yeah, and Vancouver is very, like, culturally diverse. There is a lot of stuff,
yeah.
You know, and, you know, it's just finding the balance for all sorts of types of entertainment, you know. Or more, it doesn't have to be entertainment. I mean, I think that it's finding art. It's having, art just needs a place, you know,
yeah.
To sort of not just be entertainment, but very socially and politically and economically relevant,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah, and especially in the times that we live in.
Yeah.
The value of art, I mean, that's just necessary, isn't it?
Yeah.
This is the second production, I understand, of West Moon Theater, is that right?
Yeah, this is sort of the second production. I produced a show called Bondage during the Vancouver Fringe this past year,
mm-hmm.
And this is the second production of a company that I just recently started called West Moon Theater that really came out of two separate collectives,
yeah,
or maybe two and a half collectives, because by that point I had been doing all these sort of one-offs, and I felt well, you know, if I produce consistently, or I'm continuing to produce consistently, I might as well just actually just start a company, you know, and I can just do something annually, and I don't necessarily have to produce a lot of stuff, but you know, if I can do one thing, a year just for now, and then sort of build up a reputation and credibility, then that's a good start.
There was one more thing I wanted to ask Chris, because as a director, I know you direct plays, and I've talked to you now about this musical. I talked to you about Dogfight, I think, a year or so ago.
Mm-hmm.
Is there a difference in terms of how you conduct yourself as a director when you're dealing, say, with a straight play as opposed to a musical?
I don't think there is much of a difference, actually. You know, the thing with musicals is, you know, there is a lot of music, you know, and a lot of that music has a lot of prescribed moments in it. You know, the actors have to follow an actual score, and then they perform that. You know, it's interesting because with straight plays, I find that there's a lot of musicality in straight plays as well.
Mm.
It's just, you know, it's just a conversation between the actors and myself about how to score that, and then sort of building a kind of built-in kind of scoring for the show as well sometimes. You know, different shows have different processes, but I still treat text the same way that I do if I deal with text in a straight play, I sort of approach it the same way with a musical if it has a lot of text. Or, you know, it's really looking at the text in the lyrics, you know, and sort of try to find the sort of the meaning and the intent and the specificity in it, you know. But the wonderful thing about musicals is because music sort of supports the emotional worlds or the for the characters, the actors, you know, pretty much have an easier time sort of slipping into, you know, what their subtext is and how they can sort of approach a state, an emotional state, you know. And that's the one thing I found with musicals is that the authors have already sort of prescribed a very specific kind of a kind of emotional kind of state.
Yeah.
And then the actors can kind of go from there. And also, there's more. With that being said, then that means that musicals have to be more specific in their execution.
And as a director, working with these performers that you're working with, how are you finding it working with say new and emerging talent? I mean, that just must be fun and encouraging for you to see that there are these sorts of these performers coming into this theatrical community. I mean, it must be terribly engaging and encouraging, I guess.
Yeah, it's very exciting. I mean, you know, working with actors who have just recently graduated from post-secondary or they're actually still in school, you know, for me, it's still education.
Mm-hmm.
It's still kind of... for me, especially, sometimes I'm still a very young director, and I'm still learning a lot of things. And that relationship with younger or emerging artists, you know, is further education for myself.
Mm-hmm.
And with post-secondary grads, you know, they have all the tools at their disposal, you know, because of their training. Because it's all about respect, it's just sort of treating them on a level where, you know, all I have to do is really ask them to sort of, you know, use all their tools at their disposal and sort of just kind of figure out the direction of that, you know, because they have all that training. And for them, it's like really just flexing those muscles, you know, and because they don't have the safety net of a theatrical institution, you know, it's kind of nice for them to sort of feel their way through a process, you know, and I'm sure each process is going to be very different for each person. And for someone who's, because we have you know, one actress who is still in high school, I wonder for her if it's, if she's benefiting from this as a form of education, or, I feel like she's probably going to be absorbing a lot of stuff at this point. And yeah, out of respect, I will treat her as such, with all the tools that she has at her disposal. But yeah, I mean, we're all learning together, and there's also actors who have been doing this for years, and, we have actors who are part of the Actors Union, so it's a nice cross-generational kind of family. And the wonderful thing about the double casting is that, it's there's a lot of support for each other, mm-hmm. And usually with everyone at different stages, it's interesting to see how they all kind of collaborate and sort of work together,
Yeah. Chris, it's been nice talking again, and as I say, in your business, break a leg. I appreciate this.
Oh, no, thank you.
Next to normalvan.brownpapertickets.com is the website for tickets. Next to Normal is on the 7th to the 17th of February at Studio 16 at La Maison de la Francophonie. Chris Lamb, the production's director, joined me on the line from here in Vancouver. I'm Joseph Plante.